Our first scripture this morning is found in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and I read it to the children, and I'd like to read it again. Because this is an important verse. That's Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. It's way in the back. This is at almost the very end of our scriptures. In Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 17, it reads and says, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." Father in heaven, would you not only add a blessing to the hearing, but the doing of your holy word. My fellow friends, my fellow Christians, in that verse it says, come, come. How would anybody come unless they are invited? How would anybody know to come unto Jesus Christ unless they're given the invitation? And who is to give that invitation? You're all looking at me. I'm looking right back at you. The invitation. That is the title of my sermon this morning, is on giving the invitation to someone to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. They have to be invited. We're going to look at three instances when the invitation was given. Our first invitation that we're going to read about is in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41, and it's a little long verse there, but we're going to go to chapter 9 of John. In John chapter 9, starting in verse 1, this is the story of Jesus healing a blind man from birth. And I know we've heard this story before, but we're going to go through it and look at it again. And as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. That is Jesus. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud from the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and he washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they demanded. And I'm going to stop there, because he goes on to explain that this man came along. I don't know who he was. He spit on the ground. He made some mud. He put it on my eyes. Now I can see. And as we read down further, the scribes and the Pharisees drag him in. They're upset at him. They want to know, how did this happen? And he keeps repeating the same story. And the scribes and Pharisees are just upset at him and said, "Get his parents in here. We want to question them." And the parents said, "Hey, he's of age. Listen to him." And as we go through that whole story, we now come down We get down to verse 35, and this is where the invitation is. I wanted to set up the story so that you understand there's some confrontation going on. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, Jesus went and found him. He said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The question, do you believe in the Son of Man? There's a question. "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have now seen him, and in fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. An invitation, an acceptance. Our next invitation is in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26. And this is Philip and the Ethiopian. Philip, one of the disciples. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met the Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Philip asked him, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I,' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing." That is our second story of an invitation. Our third and final is in Acts also, but it's back a little further in chapter 16. Just turn a few pages back to chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Starting in verse 22. Let's start in verse 22. Now I'll give you a little information as to what this. Paul and Silas have been out. They've been preaching. They've been in the towns. And they run across this girl who has a spirit in her, an evil spirit. And this spirit is for divination. And the people who own the girl, she's a slave girl, are making money off of this, and she is saying, "These two men are talking about salvation." Okay, that's evil spirit in her, can see the Holy Spirit in Paul and Silas, and there's an uproar, okay, and Paul and Silas get thrown into prison because they cast out that demon, and those people are upset. I don't have my money-making machine anymore. So they get thrown in prison. Terrible thing. How would you feel if you were thrown in prison? And your shirt taken off you and beaten, right? That would hurt, okay? And they're just doing what God told them to do, right? And the people didn't like it, threw them in prison. And the jailer is told, you better watch these two men, because if they get away, you're going to pay. So we'll pick it up in verse 25. Jump down to verse 25. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open. Everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. And then immediately he and his family were baptized. This is our third invitation. All of them are a little different. Okay? The first invitation that we have is Jesus giving the invitation in his fleshly body. He hasn't been crucified yet. He doesn't have a glorified body yet. But he's doing the work the Father has sent him to do. All right? He heals the man. And then later on, he follows up and seeks the man out again. Now his sight is restored and he talks to him. And he said, "I am. I am." And the man receives him. Jesus gave the invitation for the man to accept him. What do all three of these incidents have in common? Now, we look at them all, and they're all a little different. Jesus giving the invitation, okay? Philip is sent to meet someone on a road. It's a very comfortable invitation. They have a nice little sit-down together. They read scriptures together, and it's very easy. The third one, there's a lot of confrontation. We're in jail. We've been beaten. God does something miraculous. Okay, there's an earthquake. The jail is shook. The chains come off. I mean, think about it. If you were in that situation, you've been beaten, probably deprived of food. You're in a stinky jail. You got chains on. And all of a sudden, the doors fly open. There's an earthquake. All the chains fall off. What would you do? "I'm getting out of here. I am leaving. God has made a way for me to get out." They don't do it. They don't do it. They wait. And the jailer comes down because he thinks he's in a lot of trouble. He's going to kill himself. And Paul says, "Stop. Wait a minute. We're all here." That would make me think as a jailer. You know what I mean? We put him in there because we don't want them to escape. Everything's off. Something miraculous has happened. The doors are blown off. The chains are off. And everybody stayed? What is going on here? Okay? And you get that invitation. The three things that have in common with all these different invitations, and they all are different, right? None of them look the same. When it came time for that invitation, okay, even all the people that are playing actors, they were all a one-on-one conversation. Paul and Silas with the jailer, Philip with the eunuch, Jesus with the blind man. They were one-on-one interactions. No matter all the stuff that was going on around that, they were one-on-one interactions. They were all set up by the Holy Spirit, a divine appointment. Keep thinking of these things, a divine appointment. And they were all done in a loving way. Jesus, full of love for that blind man, talked to him. Philip, full of love for the eunuch, talked to him. Paul and Silas, full of love, talked to the jailer. Now, Paul and Silas, in their situation, was very chaotic. It was stressful. But what were they doing? Excuse me. They were praying and singing hymns to God. They were preparing themselves for what was about to happen. The extraordinary earthquake. What is different about these three incidents? Well, the first incident I have discussed before was Jesus giving the invitation to the man. Okay, that was the Son of God, God, dealing with someone on a one-to-one basis in the physical realm. Okay, God will deal with everybody in the spiritual realm. Okay, but physically, Jesus is not here with us. That is why he dwells in us. We're to be that physical confrontation with people. Not confrontation is kind of a strong word. How about a interaction? You don't want to have a confrontation, do you, when you're giving the invitation? I need people in the front here so I can reach out and grab somebody. I'm going to have to use Mitch again. You don't walk up to someone and say, "You need to believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to have to shake some sense into you," right? That's what you do. You walk right up there and you start slapping them. Blah, 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 blah. That's not how you give the invitation. Or you take the Bible and you beat them over the head, right? "I'm going to knock some sense into you." That's how we do it, right? Huh? Everybody do it that way? No. Mitch, no, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. The second incident with Philip and the eunuch was a sort of a private encounter. It was easy. It was not a whole lot of confrontation. There was a camaraderie. The eunuch asked questions. Philip is answering questions. Okay? There was a nice rapport going on. Third incident had a lot of turmoil in it. Okay? There was a lot of excitement going on. There was pain. There was rocks falling, chains falling off. Okay? So it was a very stressful sort of situation. All right? You would call that stressful? Mitch, if I put you in jail, would you be stressed? Yes. If I went to jail, I would be stressed. Okay. And what would you do? You would pray and sing hymns. Let's get rid of the stress. Let everybody else have the stress all around you, but you are calm because they were on a mission from God. You are on a mission from God. So we have three different situations where the invitation was given. Okay. But the outcome of all these invitations were the same. The Holy Spirit did his work. Evangelism, the big E word, right? Scares the hell out of some people. Can I be blunt? Who here likes to evangelize? Be honest, you're in church. Who doesn't like it? Be honest, you're in church. Who's indifferent doesn't care about either way? Oh my goodness, do people have no hands? I'll keep asking questions till I get a show of hands. We can be here all day. I could probably preach till tonight. I won't though. But you have to look at it this way. Let's change the word, the name, the title evangelist to witness. A witness doesn't sound confrontational, I'm sorry, but evangelist does. Well, I'm an evangelist. Yep, oh yeah, I've been in the Billy Graham Crusades. Yeah, I've preached to hundreds of thousands of people. Yep, I put my hand up and the Holy Spirit just lays the whole congregation out. Yep, 10,000 people are laying on their faces. Yep, yep. We're not that. I'm not that. I'm just simple Dave Webster, just like simple Mitch Keith. Simple Amy Webster, simple Pastor Rich, we're just simple people, right? Now I'm going to ask you another question because you guys don't answer, so I'm going to ask another one. What is the name of an evangelist that you know? What, when I say an evangelist, what name comes to mind? Billy Graham, that was my first one on here, yeah. Joyce Myers? Yeah? Yeah? Rick Warren, Oral Roberts? Jack Van Impe? Charles Spurgeon, Mary Perry? These are all big-time evangelists. They get up and they talk to 100,000 people. Who here does that? Who here talks to 100,000 people? Brian, do you talk to 100,000 people? No. Well, Pastor does. We're putting him out on the internet, so there's 1,000 people. But for the most of us, we don't do that. We don't do that. So you're not a big-time evangelist, right? You have no big reputation that you've got to look out for. We're just simple folk. Now, as simple folk, I had a story here I wanted to read you, but I'm not going to read that to you because sometimes I read a little too much. But I'm going to tell you a story, okay? This gentleman went to become a minister. And I know you guys are not becoming ministers, but you'll understand what my story means. The man went for an ordination service, right? And all these pastors are around him, and they're asking him all kinds of questions about theology, and they're asking him all kinds of questions. Well, how do you conduct worship? And they're asking him all kinds of questions and stuff. And they get to the end, and this one old minister, probably had a big, bushy beard, nice and white, and he says, I'd like to ask the candidate one question. And they said, okay. And the young minister, he's sitting there going, oh man, what's this guy going to ask me? He says to the young minister, the old minister, he says, look out that window. What do you see? And the young candidate looks out the window. He says, well, I see a man walking across the street. And the old minister says, tell me what you see theologically. Theologically. And there's really only two answers. And depending on how you would answer that, would show you where your heart is. Where your heart is. If you looked out that window, you said, well, I see a man. Oh, he's a sinner. He's going to hell. He's damned unless we can talk to him about Jesus Christ and get him saved. He's going to spend all eternity in hell. Right? That's one way to say it. And it would be true, right? If I looked out the door there and I didn't know anybody, I'd see a gentleman coming across there, okay, he's smoking a big old bong. Oh yeah, man, I'm having a good day. It's Sunday and this is great. You would say, oh, he's a sinner. He doesn't know Jesus, possibly. But when you answer the question in this way, I see a person that God created that's lost and in need of a Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. That would show me where your heart is. If you're going out there with a Bible to beat them on the head, you'll drive them away, okay? But when you go out there with a love in your heart, it's like putting honey out there. You'll catch a lot more flies with honey than you will with vinegar. Well, then how do you present the invitation? How do you present an invitation? That is the $64,000 question. Because every situation that you get into where you have the opportunity to make an invitation is going to be different, okay? It's going to be different between you and me, all right? A lot of times when you're talking to someone, you may be talking to people in your family, your coworkers, your friends, and you may be speaking to them about Jesus and telling them, what Jesus has done in your life, and you ought to see what we're doing at our church, and boy, the congregation is really great. They just really love people. And, you have a rapport with that person, okay? So you can feel out when to give that invitation to that person. It all hinges on what kind of a relationship that you have with people, okay? Now, if you are an evangelist that we're calling a witness, like Mitch does, he goes out to people he doesn't know. So now that's a totally different situation. Right? Wouldn't that be right, Mitch? It's easier to talk to somebody in your family than to talk to someone out in the public that you don't know. But in all those situations, we have the same dynamics going on, okay? Whether you're talking to a friend that you've known for years or you're talking to someone you have never met before, the Holy Spirit will be talking to you, okay? The Holy Spirit's going to talk to you. The Holy Spirit's going to tell you what to say, and you wait for them to open doors. I'll give you an example. A lot of the people that I talk to, I meet while I'm working. I'm out on the road, and there's always somebody who wants to come up and find out, well, when are you yokels going to be done? When am I going to get the electric back on? Right? And they have no idea what they're stepping into when they come after me. Because I look for doors. I'll give you a story. This will help you. I was down in Bethel. We had a line knocked down, big tree came down, tore the wires down, everything's on the ground. It happened during the night, you know what I mean? So they've been out for a couple hours. We get there around 10 o'clock, and we're assessing everything. We're going to figure out how we're going to put this all back together, and we've got to get a tree crew in there. They got to get the limb off. Okay, I'm directing my guys here. I want you to do this. You set this truck up there. You do that. And up comes a car with a little old man in it. Somehow he got through the roadblock. They tend to do that. They go right around that roadblock. And I like that because they come up, and he comes up, and he goes, blah, 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 uses the Lord name in vain. And I went, there's my door. He just gave me a door. And I go, Lord and Savior. And he's sitting in his car, and he goes, what? I didn't say nothing. I'll just let him go. When is our power going to get back on? So I explained to him that, you know, it's going to take a little while. We got to do this, this, and this. Do you live near here? Yes, I do. Oh, do you go to church anywhere? Well, occasionally. Well, how often is occasionally? Once or twice a year, maybe. Oh, I said, then you're not really a Christian. Well, I think I am. I said, you can know. And we got into this conversation, and the more I kept giving him information and asking him questions, and I found out his age of 71, and I said, you know what? You ain't got much time left. I said, you're going to be making a trip either to heaven or hell. And I said, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm afraid you're going to need barbecue sauce where you're going. He didn't want to talk to me anymore. I don't know why not. I told him the truth. Okay? He put it in reverse. Said, well, I got to go on. He must have lived over there, but he's going in reverse this way. Okay? Sometimes people aren't going to want to hear what you have to say. Because for those who are being saved, you are the aroma of life. For those who are dying and perishing, you are the aroma of death. Don't let that stop you. You can use humor. Just be yourselves. You don't have to have a theological background in the back of your head spouting scripture after scripture. Just wait for them to open a door. Okay, and when they open the door, the Holy Spirit steps in, not you. You can't save anybody. And the invitation is as varied as the people you're going to meet. Now, today I brought with me, and I have them out on the bench. You guys all have seen these things. Chick tracks, they are wonderful little tools. This will help you give the invitation. Sometimes you might only have the opportunity to hand one out, right? But you've planted a seed. The Word of God is in here, and it's seeds. You plant it out there, and you may never see that person again, but someone else might show up and give that invitation. And they may accept the Holy Spirit working on their heart because you planted a seed. Just be ready when people say stuff. When someone uses the Lord's name in vain, whether it's, excuse me, Lord, goddamn, a lot of them, you hear a lot of that one, or Jesus Christ, because they're mad about something, don't get confrontational. Just with a big smile, say, Lord and Savior, and let it go. And let the Holy Spirit work. It took the guys at work about 8 months to almost a year. They stopped using the Lord's name in vain around me. I never told them to stop doing it. I just said, Lord and Savior. If they're going to throw his name down, I'm going to pick it back up. That's what you do. That's one of your doors. If someone is having a rough time, and this will happen more often than any time, you'll meet somebody somewhere and they'll say, oh, let me tell you about all the pains and sores and how my kids are mistreating me. And listen, and then pray with them. Say, let's take that before the Lord. And if they're a Christian, okay, they'll get right into it. They'll, oh yeah, let's do that, okay? If they're not a Christian, they'll look at you kind of dumbfounded. Don't stop. They've told you all their problems, right? Do you want it all dumped in your lap? Take it to the Lord in prayer. And then give them the invitation. You know what? I have those same problems. They don't bother me anymore because Jesus carries them for me. And somebody's going to go, huh? Who? Who's Jesus? Is he down the street? Does he have a PhD in psychology? I go, no. He's the Son of the living God. And I'd like you to introduce you to him. So there's all kinds of ways to give the invitation. All kinds. And they're all going to be a little bit different depending on the people you run into and their attitude. Okay? Just be ready. When the Holy Spirit opens that door, be ready to speak a word of truth. And I don't mean just spouting scripture. I mean truth from your life. Giving the invitation is a personal thing. You're sharing part of yourself with them. Do you understand? So, we now have tracts out there for you guys to use, and there's plenty of them there. Take two or three. I'd like to see them all gone. Please, just take some. Stick them in your wallet. I put them in my wallet. Ladies, put them in your purse. You always have them. Guys, you can stick one in your side pocket. And you'll know you've been carrying it around too long when it starts to get really threadbare. You need to give it away to somebody. Right? Don't carry it around. Give it away to someone. This one here was the first tract that I ever saw. And I probably saw this when I was around 11, 12 years old. Okay? I found this at a breakfast where we were getting ready to go hunting. And my grandma was making pancakes and sausage and, you know, all that stuff and all the hunters and stuff that are in there. This thing was lying there, and I picked it up, and I went, oh, this is really cool. I started reading this, and I'm going, huh, Catholic priest never told me any of this stuff. Oh, that's really interesting. Oh, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Right? Oh, I can have this? Cool! The Lord used this to get me saved, to show me truth. If you don't remember anything else that I tell you today, if you leave here with a brain full of mush and you go out and you drop it in the parking lot, I want you to remember this. The gift of witnessing is reflected in the ability to explain the gospel clearly, simply, and a willingness to do it. It's that simple. It's not hard. All you got to do is be yourself, okay? Just be yourself and be willing to do it. I once explained this to a gentleman. I said, salvation from Jesus Christ is a gift, right? So if, and they were like, well, reluctant to even talk to me. And I said, well, if I take a gift at Christmas time, right, and I hand it to you, would you say, oh, Mr. Webster, what do I got to do to deserve that? It's a gift. I'm giving it to you. You would take the gift, wouldn't you? Everybody here would. If Pastor Ridge said, come over to my house, and he had gifts stacked up, and he started handing them out the front door. Here you go, Dottie. Here you go. Here you go. You would just take it and go, oh, this is really cool. I wonder what he got me. You would take it. It's the same thing with Jesus Christ. It's a gift. And tell him it's just a gift. There's no strings attached to get that gift. It will cost you everything once you have it. But once you have that gift, you'll give up everything because you don't care about it. It's a gift. You can explain it to him that way. It's a gift. If I gave you a gift, would you take it? If I pulled out $10,000 and said, here's a gift for you, to anybody on the street, would take it and run. It's just a gift. So remember, the gift of witnessing is reflected in the ability to explain the gospel in your own words. You all know it. You've all been taught. The master outlines was that purpose, to give you all the information. Did you memorize all those sermons? Why not? Oh, you couldn't, right? But they're all in there, as Pastor Rich said last week. The Holy Spirit, it's all in there. And when you need it, he'll bring that file front and paste it on your window, and you'll have it for any person. Explain the gospel clearly and simply, and you got to be willing to do it. If you're not willing to do it, Holy Spirit's not going to use you. But I can tell you from my past experience, the more you do it, the more you listen to the Holy Spirit, okay? And he's getting your attention, and you're doing like Philip. What did the angel say to Philip? Get out there on that road. What did Philip do? He said, well, I think I'm going to sit in the house and have an iced tea. He did what he was told. So when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, do it. We walk by faith, not by sight. So you put your faith in the Holy Spirit, and he's going to guide you right into those situations where you're going to get to meet people. Okay? Miss Dottie, the Holy Spirit probably is not going to, I can't say for sure, but probably is not going to send you to a pagan pig roast so that you can witness there. Pagan motorcycle group? Right? Probably not. I know he's put me in that situation, but he's probably not going to do that with you. All you got to do is listen and allow things to happen. We walk by faith, not by sight. I want to tell you about the benediction hymn. And I didn't bring my bulletin down with me, so you all have your bulletins. You know which one it is. No, I don't need it. The benediction song is I Can Only Imagine. And what I want you to think about when you're singing that song, think about this sermon and what we're talking about, okay? We're talking about telling people about Jesus Christ so they can be saved. Saved, okay? You're all saved here, right? You all know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Your ticket is punched. You're going to heaven. It's going to be a beautiful place. And I want you to think of this. When you're in heaven and you've done your part witnessing, however God moves you, all right, and someone comes up and they hug you. I'm going to hug you. And they hug you, okay? And they have tears in their eyes. And they say to you, I was going to hell. I was going to die all eternity in hell and never be with Jesus. And because you talked to me, because you got out of your comfort zone and you walked up to that person and you were real with them and you loved them and they accepted Christ as their personal Savior because the Holy Spirit convicted them, because God was using you as a tool, and they make it into heaven. They say there's going to be no tears in heaven, but there's going to be people there that are going to walk up to me and I'm going to be crying because they accept, tears of joy, because they accepted Christ. They got away from hell. Hell is for real and it's forever. And you never get out. And you're in there by yourself, and the only thing you hear is other millions and billions of people wailing and groaning and crying and gnashing their teeth, and there's no love. There's no end to it. It's complete separation from God.
I want you to think about that. There's going to be people in heaven that you witness to. There's going to be people in hell you witness to, but they said no. At least you tried. You gave that invitation. You didn't beat them over the head. You said, hey, here it is. If you want it, you can have it. And if they walk away, you can cry a tear for them because they just turned their back on God. But glory to God. I can only imagine when someone does accept Christ, because you were out there doing the job God asked you to do. Can you imagine the joy in your heart? I can feel it. There's people I talk to. My fellow Christians, receive the benediction. Father, bless them, strengthen them, send them out from this place, out to talk to people, give them an invitation. May every person here, young and old, be a witness to the power, the glory, and the majesty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name, you are sent. Now go.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.